Well, I was in Tennessee last week. Patty and my sister were traveling around. In fact, we were in Rogersville, Alabama. Just had lunch. Had a Reuben. It was really good. A small cafe. We got the word that Charlie Kirk had been shot. And the video was immediately online. I saw the video and I knew without miracle it was unsurvivable. My sister showed me the video. And our heart sunk. And I shouldn't say heart sunk because I became probably the most infuriated I've been regarding a political or national event since I've been saved. I was just angry. And the emotional onslaught was that I wanted to lash out. What do I do? And I knew what I couldn't do. I couldn't get online. And so we're together, so I could go into a closet and pray, but I started praying. God, what do I do? Because I know this is not how you want me to respond of how I feel right now. What do you want me to do? And it was almost immediately, God let me know he was a seed that was going to produce a harvest. And so I put online that I pray that God raised up 20 million Charlie Kirks to finish the work he started. And I haven't been on Facebook or anything about that pretty much since. Waiting for this morning. Because at times like these, I believe God's people need a word from their leaders, from their ministry leaders. We need to know, what do we do? Because right now, my thought is, who's got a gun? Not what I'm teaching, do you follow me? But that was my thought. It's time to shut this nonsense down. And it is. But it's going to be, as Linda just said, through prayer. Whatever God directs us into next. And so I had to get a hold of the emotions right on that spot. And, of course, we shut down our shopping. We drove back. Everybody was pretty much quiet the rest of the night. And just talking about the effect Charlie Kirk had on this nation. Many believe we wouldn't have a President Trump today without Charlie Kirk influencing so many young people. And so, in my opinion, probably the most effective debater of our time. As far as the knowledge he had and the ability to access it on the spot. It's one thing having it, a knowledge, another thing to be able to get a hold of it right away when you want it, right? How many always think when you have a confrontation, maybe you think, oh, I should have said that.
Yeah.
Well, he was speaking on our behalf, right? Now, I want to go into some of this today. I'm not sure where we're going to end up, but I have a lot of notes I've made. And I want to go to the passage that God gave me right away, as far as dropped in me. If you would turn to John chapter 12. And I'm going to start off just talking about some of what's taking place. And then I want to close out. I will say he will get there this morning. What our response needs to be. Amen. John chapter 12, are you there? Let's start reading verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them, say unbelievers.
Unbelievers.
Certain unbelievers among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, since they came to worship, but they're worshiping God, but without knowledge of who Jesus is. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. They want to see him. We would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'm going to stop right there. Many people have been posting this verse. This is really the concept that came to me as soon as I heard that he had passed, that he's a seed. Let me say this right away. God didn't do this.
Right.
No, I didn't.
Nor was this the will of God.
No.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
This was the devil, once again, thinking he was about to win. The scripture said, had he known what he was doing when he crucified Jesus, he would have changed his mind.
Yes.
He'd let him live.
Yes.
And I believe that's true for this situation as well.
Amen.
Satan, once again, has overplayed his hand. We grieve, we mourn this loss. You know, personally, as a nation, I saw yesterday that London, England, had over 1 million people turn out for a march on behalf of Charlie Kirk. 1 million people in England. That's the international impact this man was having. And now it's manifested, it's multiplied.
Yes.
Now listen, I've been watching Charlie for many years.
Yeah.
I see his posts come onto my Facebook site. But now, as of last Wednesday, they're coming on everybody's Facebook site.
Yeah.
Do you follow me? There are people that didn't know who Charlie Kirk was, know who he is today, and are seeing the replays of his campus visits, his debates, his wisdom that he had. They're hearing the gospel preached from a man that understood it. Do you follow me? It's open doors that weren't there before. And when the Greeks, the unbelievers, said, we want to see Jesus, he said, you can see me, but I'm about to be multiplied. We just multiplied Charlie Kirk. Do you follow me? He's got spokesmen rising up everywhere. In fact, we're finding out who's on the Lord's side and who isn't, and who's neutral. Many, many, many people are being fired for their comments that they made right after his death. And I believe rightly so. What about freedom of speech? Freedom of speech is a national right, given that you're not persecuted nationally for what you do. It doesn't say your boss has to approve of what you say. Or your school. Freedom of speech does not allow you to do that, nor to incite riot. You follow me? Which I believe most of the media are guilty of right now.
Yeah.
Have been for some time. So God multiplied Charlie Kirk. He's about to, as a seed. And this nation will never be the same. I believe much like the assassination of Martin Luther King, we're going to see a shift. Do you follow me? And both great spokesmen on behalf of God and his kingdom and of truth. So I celebrate his life, but I believe his death is going to produce, it's going to be much more costly for the devil than he thought. This was a work of the devil. Amen. And I've seen as well, many people are changing parties out of this.
Yes.
Many people are being saved out of this.
Yes.
I've seen at least one or two politicians are changing parties on a national level because of the incivility of the left. And so, get ready for a move of God.
Amen.
Now, as well, I don't want to get out of order here as far as what I want to teach or speak on. But we're in the midst of, I believe, the beginning, the birthings of the greatest revival the world's ever seen. If you've seen what God's doing on college campuses right now with thousands being saved, I mean, he's been at UK, he's been at UT, all these different universities he's been at. In fact, he was in Utah, at a college campus. And revival's taking place, and the devil is in freak-out mode. Just like the Democratic politicians are in total meltdown mode right now. They don't know what to do because everything they try is hitting a wall. And President Trump's approval ratings keep going higher and higher and higher. And guess what? Out of this, they're going to go even higher. I have my shirt. Had it on all morning, you didn't notice it. She doesn't pay no attention to me.
You're like the Lone Ranger.
And so change is taking place out of this. But the devil hates this revival, and all he can do to stop it is to try to stir up people to react to his atmospheric charge. I mean, the first thing I felt was rage.
Yes.
I mean, anger, extreme anger. More than hurt, it was anger. Because we know the voices that have inspired this. Nazi, fascist, you know, everything else. No love. And I knew that any reaction out of those emotions would not be God moving through me. We've learned enough to know that, right? Did you know most Christians don't know that? You've learned not to go by your emotions, but to go by the Word.
Yeah.
And I know I had to get in the Word to find out what God would have us do to respond. What's His instruction to us? And so, Satan's trying to stir up war to stop the revival.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. It's about the revival.
Yeah.
And Satan will do anything he can to shut it down, even if he can get us killing each other, hating each other, responding to his atmospheric chargings. Now, I don't know what's going to come out of this in the long run. I do really believe it's going to be national glorification, glory coming on America. I don't know the whole path. But I know we as a people have to respond to the Word and not feelings. What has God instructed us? When I say the Word, I'm talking about the Bible and what God's prophetically downloading to us at the time. Now, I want to say right now, in fact, they want to see Jesus, and Jesus said, I got to die. It'll multiply me. Right? Let's read the next verse. Verse number, let's read 24 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. See what the word life there? It's not bios. It's suke. Soul. He that's making his own plans for his life will lose those plans. He that's deciding what he wants to do versus accessing the wisdom of God is going to end up off track. He that's responding to the enemy's charging into the atmosphere and how he feels is going to lose in the long run. You follow me? But he that hateth his life in this world, in other words, worldly thinking, how he feels, but then he's instructing, shall keep it unto life eternal. It's vital we maintain control of how we feel right now. I started off this morning with a verse out of 2 Corinthians about God always causes us to triumph, have a party in him. And it may sound callous, it may sound caring. It's not. It's determined not that the devil controlled the agenda of thinking in my mind. Not letting the devil control how I feel. Again, this is kind of a sidetrack. I hope it doesn't take too long. I've shared it before. But years ago, remember the old show back in the 60s, Cannon Camera?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a great show? Alan Funt. Well, they tried to redo the show back in the 80s, I think it was. And it really didn't take off like it did the first time. But I was watching one stunt they pulled. And they had a convenience store where when somebody paid them in cash and it was so many cents, you know, $2.50, they gave them $5, they'd give them $2 back. And they'd say, where's my change? They said, well, we found that it just takes too much time and effort to give back change. Kind of there today. So we just keep the change. Here's your cash. And people would throw a fit. Where's my 32 cents? I want my 32 cents. I'm about to hurt somebody if I don't get my 32 cents. I mean, everybody, every kind of tantrum you can have. And finally, a guy came up and the bill was so much. And He gave the money, they gave back no change. He said, well, where's my change? He said, they said, well, we don't, we've learned it takes too much time and effort to give back change, so we just don't give back change anymore. He said, okay, took his dollar bills and left. They ran him down outside the store and said, sir, we notice you, of all people, everybody else got upset when they didn't get their change. You didn't get upset when you didn't get your change. Why? He said, I learned a long time ago not to let other people rent space in my head. Nobody's going to get to my emotional status because they act in an ungodly or unloving or unkind fashion. You got to keep that in mind right now. Devil, you're not renting space in my head. I refuse to give them to hate, separation, or division. I will walk in love regardless. And I know this sounds difficult. It is challenging. Because the emotions want to lash out, wants to get even. How many people have I met trying to figure out what punishment is suitable for this young man that assassinated Charlie Kirk? Amen. Well, I'm in full favor of capital punishment. You follow me? Heinous crime. And I had to cast down thoughts of a torturous form of capital punishment would be fitting. But I can't respond with hate because he's just a pawn of the devil anyway. I pray he gets saved. And then he pulled the switch. Says we got to hate our life connected to the world, the world's way of thinking, the world's way of responding. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If you're going to serve God, you got to follow him. And that means follow his leading. And right now, I know, listen, the Bible says not despise prophesying, but we have so many contrasting prophecies coming out all the time, it's hard to know which ones of God. But we got to find out which ones are. And our churches need to be proclaiming what's of God. And I'm praying this morning, God, give me your utterance, your unction, your voice this morning. Don't let this be my opinion. Let this be what you're instructing. And the direction we follow through with, let it be of you. Because we need it right now. If we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to hear him. And we need to hear him uniformly. Amen. March as a group. Let me throw this in before I run out of time. I'm praying this is a wake-up call to the pulpits of America to quit being wimpy. Afraid to speak about political things. Well, we're the church. We shouldn't be involved. Separation of church and state. Phooey! That's as kind as I can put it. I use different words when I get home with Patty.
Yeah.
Horse hockey. There,
see. Exactly.
I'm so glad I'm speaking to pulpits, to pastors right now, to ministers. I'm so glad the founders of this country didn't have this mindset. We shouldn't be involved in political things. Because it was Christians birthed this nation.
Amen.
Intentionally.
Yes.
Have a place that God can be exalted.
Yeah.
It's time to wake up. And I prophesy this. Those ministers that will not proclaim the times we're in from a political and national standpoint, I pray you lose your pulpits, you lose your churches, and people that will use them for the full gospel fulfill them.
Amen.
We can use the building right now. Just give us yours.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that the people that God called to be salt and light in the earth don't even want to have savor. Scripture says if salt's lost a savor, Jesus said if salt loses a savor, what is good for nothing but thrown out of other buildings right now. If you refuse to speak out, you refuse to take a stand, if you refuse to enter the community and have an impact, you've lost your savior. In fact, you never had any. And I'm telling you, God's going to raise up men and women right now.
Yeah.
To speak about moral issues with an intent of influencing the country with those issues. Well, I teach my people morality and they vote how they want to. Praise God. Now speak to the entire national system. Quit being a namby-pamby. I don't know what that means, but I know it's not good. God's looking for voices. I'm so glad Charlie Kirk. How many believe Charlie Kirk was a Christian?
Yes.
How many believe he's in heaven right now?
Yes.
I'm going to throw this little thing in as well. The report is that Charlie passed away at the hospital. I'm of the opinion he probably exited his body before the bullet ever hit him.
Yes, yeah.
The moment the bullet was hitting, God just took him home.
Yes.
First experience that?
Yes.
Come on home, Charlie. And the body continued to live with a heartbeat, but he was gone.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, he's with Jesus now.
Yes.
Amen. Celebrating and the impact he had. I wish we could have just a small bit of influence like he had on people. At 31 years old. Genius. Outspoken, bold, Christian voice. And if you watch his debates, he spoke about the Bible, about Jesus all the time. I'm so glad he didn't think, well, I shouldn't, as a Christian, I shouldn't mention these things. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. We've got to press in. Verse 26 again. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Serving Jesus to follow him. And again, we got to hear what to do right now. But if we'll do it, if we'll be involved in it, God's going to honor it.
Yeah.
Now, I've been teaching, speaking about this the last few weeks. But it came out even stronger this week. We've got to reinitiate community ambassadors. We've got to get into the community and have an impact. So if you have a heart for that, let me know. We'll see if we can get you involved in it. But we need to be in the schools, the business community, government interaction, businesses, whatever area we can have an influence on. Singles, young mothers, city activities. Let's be about it. Take it as an assignment. It's following Jesus. So pray about what God would have us do. Have you do. Let me know of opportunities. I intend to get back involved in Chamber of Commerce. It's time for us to be seen. And not just seen, but heard. Thank you, Jesus. Are you still with me? John chapter 16. Show you the times we're in. Are you there? Verse 1, Jesus speaking. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Offense is an emotionally created vein of thinking. Do you follow me? It's an emotionally inspired path of thought. Jesus says you can't let your emotions get you into offense. Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, but I know what he did for me. And part of following him is following this word. And we cannot choose offense. We We have some relatives, Patty and I have some relatives on her side of the family that are celebrating this. In a subtle fashion, but they're celebrating. They're not so subtly. And accepting lies about it. And we can choose to hate them, or choose to love them and believe what the Word says. It's like piling coals of fire on their head. Lee Charlie Kirk said, the best thing you can do when you are attacked is love them because they hate it.
Wow.
Not say accept it, become a doormat, but don't let offense overtake your life. They shall put you out of the synagogues, in our case, denominations. I've been kicked out of a denomination. Where they kicked up my pastor and I left with him. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. I'm seeing posts that Charlie Kirk deserved this because he was serving darkness or serving the devil. That this was God. Jesus prophesied this very event in a generic fashion. And in the midst of it, follow me, in the midst of it, he says, don't be offended. All right, y'all looking kind of, how can I say, like, what's going on? How many here, when you heard about it, had offense try to hit you? Anybody? It certainly did me. Lock and load. That was my mindset. We were tearing up too.
Yeah.
Been a lot of tears shed.
Just,
but the anger out of it was, we need to fix this. And sometimes there's things that we need God to move in and do to fix it. And he's going to revive a city and country, and nothing the devil can do to stop it if we respond in a fashion that aligns with this word.
Amen.
He said, don't be offended. Verse 3. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. If we respond in like fashion, just out of rage, then we'll be doing the same thing they did.
Yeah.
Now let me say this. If it came to a war, in other words, one side breaks out fighting and it escalated, I've got guns and bullets. I'm in. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I'll supply some other people guns and bullets. Joel, he'll arm half the city. But that's not why I have them. I don't have weapons to go to war. Do you follow me? I don't think my 1942 M1 Furby is going to do a whole lot of this. But it would be used. You know, my bolt action 22's not going to do a whole lot. Mine are backups if other people violate standards of civility. You follow me? I'm hoping we go into revival, the glory hits the nation saved, knows that we'll fight it.
Yeah.
Either get saved or it just go into the gunboat and we're going to fight. But we can't allow ourselves to fall into the trap.
That's right.
The enemy's trying to lay for us. That's what it is. Not to mention, I know this was initiated through the hate speech we're hearing come from the left. He wrote on the bullets, you know,
yeah.
Fascist, Nazi, anti-trans, all this other stuff. But he got that off the media. The media stirred this up. but it was a lone shooter. There was no evidence that anybody hired him to do it, paid him to do it, encouraged him to do it. It was a lone shooter. Devil got the one person to try to cause a national civil war. And I've seen the posts. There was no rioting. No buildings burned, although I could name a few that could be first on the list, but I'm not going to. There was no violence, peaceful protest. What was it in Korea? They had a major march for Charlie Kirk, and when they were done, they cleaned up their mess. That's how the right protests. And we can't fall into the, again, pit of responding outrage. But if things come to a head, I'll fight for this country. I'll fight for morality and truth. You follow me? But it's my prayer we never come to that place. I don't believe it's God's purpose and plan we don't come to that place. Amen. We have to resist. I want to read you an account. I remember the story, so I looked up the account. Back in Romans days, one of the major things they would do would be to throw Christians to the lions. They had the gladiator games with people with thumbs up or thumbs down to kill each other. I know the mentality in America is much like that now. Some people. What a heinous, horrible thing to do. I can't think of much less fun than being thrown to lions. Rather than kill somebody who's as innocent as you are, fighting for your life. But in 404 AD, there was a Saint Telemachus in Rome. And he was watching the gladiatorial games put on by Emperor Herodias. And he was a Christian monk. And he jumped into the fight to stop the violence. But the enraged spectators, instead of being moved by his plea, stoned him to death. The act of martyrdom by Herodias. Herodias, shocked by the event, stopped gladiatorial games. One Christian monk who was stoned to death stopped gladiator events. We're talking about a world affecting move. Cost him his life. But it changed the world after his death. And I'm praying. I'm declaring the Charlie Kirk sacrifice has the same impact.
Yes.
This world will never be the same. And I didn't know we had that much influence worldwide.
Yeah.
There are national leaders calling President Trump and sharing their condolences.
Yeah.
And when is the last time you saw a non-governmental official have the flags flown at half staff? Did they do it for Rush Limbaugh? I don't think so. I consider Rush Limbaugh the greatest voice of my life. We don't have a concerted movement without Rush Limbaugh. I like him, then you're wrong. He changed this world. There's no movement, there's no Trump without Rush Limbaugh. Charlie Cook, Kirk, has the same impact on a world stage. You ready for this move of God to amplify? If we respond right, God says, if you follow me, I'll honor it, I'll glorify it. Get ready for God to move like we've never seen it. But we got to pray. Linda said it starting out. I got it right here in my notes. We've got to ramp up intercession. So that's why I said we're starting intercessory prayer. In fact, we're having a Bible study at my house Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Intercession begins at 5:30. We moved it 30 minutes earlier to give us more time to pray without distraction. So you're invited to 129 Locust Ridge Road, Frankfort, Kentucky, for interactive Bible study Wednesday nights. But we're going to start with intercession. And God's going to show up. You watch. He's going to show up. I am actively trying to find a place we can pray in Georgetown on Friday nights or even on the mornings. Prayer place we can meet in the mornings to have intercession. We used to do it 5 days a week, hour of intercession. We don't have a location now. It's time to start again. And I'll drive as far as I got to drive. In fact, here's what I'm doing with my anger. Before, to get to Georgetown, drive a half an hour to get to prayer in the morning. It means I got to get it way earlier. It was kind of challenging. I don't care now. I'm coming. You follow me? We got to turn our anger into action.
Amen.
Godly action.
Yeah.
Is anybody getting anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 5. Let's start skipping some of this to get where we need to go. Matthew 5, start reading at verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution is evidence you're on the right track with God.
Yes.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's hate you. I'd rather be hated than be the hater. Better to be the hatey than the hater, right? And persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Boy, Stephen King has stepped into it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Sitting at home on his laptop and quotes about how he deserved it because, you know, he advocated stoning gays to death. No, he didn't. And he's found out now it was fake news, but it's too late. He's lost so many followers and readers. And bookstores are getting rid of his books. Which I'm the peanut of garbage anyway. So many people are losing jobs. I think UK may have fired somebody.
Yep.
See you, bye. I don't say it out of hate, but I do get a little bit of a smile when I think about it.
There was somebody investigating who was putting that stuff on Facebook, and they called their employers and saying, demanding that they get fired.
Yeah.
Somebody did like 60, 70 people that way.
Yes.
I read there's about to be a website come out.
Yeah.
Yep. 50,000 people that celebrated it listed so you can know who you're living around.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
With all their personal information.
It was surprising how many were teachers.
The teachers, of course, we know the devil has infiltrated our education system for generations. That's why homeschooling, that's why Charlie Kirk said, homeschool.
That's why he quit college, wasn't
it? Yeah. In fact, I think he said to somebody, somebody asked him about, he says, I'm homeschooled. What can you tell of me being, you know, as a young person, what can you tell me about all the people attacking me because I'm homeschooled? And he says something like, don't worry about it. Someday they'll be working for you. 13. What verse am I on? 11? Okay, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Okay, hang on. Let me read verse 11 again. And 12. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. I like being blessed. Persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Now let me read that again. Maybe it says, be
be offended, be hurt, be angry, and make sure you hurt them back. Doesn't say that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Again, I don't believe in being a doormat. And I'm about as far from being an enabler as you can get. I don't believe in it. He that will not work, neither shall he eat. I'm of that mindset. Suck it up, cupcake, put on your vinegar socks, whatever you want to say. Sorry about that one. I won't say the rest of it. It's put on your vinegar socks so the ants don't crawl up your legs and eat your candy behind.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Thank you for...
Anyway.
What a visual.
No, I said behind. I'm not saying we roll over and play dead and don't respond. I'm saying we respond in love.
Yes.
Until the time comes, there's a physical response demanded. I'm going to say something political from the past and you may not agree with. I wasn't raised in it, but I was somewhat, let me put it this way. People have differing opinions. I believe the Civil War was a response to slavery in America. I've read economic reasons, all these other things, but Abraham Lincoln was a abolitionist. That was his platform. And the moment he was elected, the South seceded from the Union. I mean, virtually immediately, all over, an abolitionist now president. And I believe the South had to lose. Now, I consider myself a Southerner. Even though I was raised in Kansas, I've been in the South for 62 years. Been in the South. I'm a farm boy, Southern boy. I love Tennessee. You follow me? Go Vols. But I do not support that the South should have won the war. They're on the wrong side of God. Slavery had to stop, and it was a disgrace on this nation, and I consider the biggest blot nationally that we've ever been involved in. In fact, my great, great, way back grandfather, John Smiley, I should have been a Smiley. My grandfather's adopted and changed his name to Shoup. Shoup would have been Smiley. Was the first congressman of Pennsylvania. He voted against the Constitution because it did not do enough to stop slavery. Didn't address it. He was friends with John Quincy Adams, who was a big abolitionist and worked to stop slavery. They knew it back then, but the South wouldn't go along with it because it was their economic lever. And here's the point I want to make out of all this. The North did not start the Civil War. The South fired on Fort Sumter. Not one person, but as a military force. It backfired. We're not the ones that are going to start a war. Don't even think in those terms. I'm not saying don't be prepared. But we won't respond to one person that's some wacko that gets a gun. We keep our cool. We respond in love. And God says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, because we have a great reward in heaven. What we do with our emotions right now will help determine what we experience in heaven for eternity. Right now. What do you do with your emotions? How are you responding? What are you planning on? Turn it to God right now. Watch Him bless you. Bless us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I need to turn. touch on a few more verses here. And I need 3 hours today. Okay, I'll pay him another little bit of money. Keep going. Anybody in a hurry to get out of here? I'm not looking. Go ahead and tell me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not work in the flesh. It's not how we're called to battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or fleshly, or naturally, or worldly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
To the pulling down of the demonic forces supporting evil and wickedness.
Right.
Casting down imaginations. In fact, the word imagination there is really better translated logic. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It says we're to take captive thoughts and oppose the things of God. And bringing into captivity, the rest of the verse, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Right now, you're in a war. In fact, if there's a mindset the church needs to, is to, out of this, they need to get a hold of us. We are in a war already.
Yes.
But it's not flesh against flesh. It's flesh against darkness.
Yes.
And our weapons are not natural. And God says we use our weapons we're given, we can pull it down.
That's right.
But the first step in pulling it down is controlling what's up here.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a hard assignment this morning. Go home today or sometime this week and put on some praise music and just praise God. Celebrate. Not that Charlie has been assassinated, but that he's with God.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And that he's still God.
Yes.
And he said he'll give us the victory if we do it right.
Yep.
Yes.
Celebrate.
Yes.
You're on the winning side. And again, I've seen it over and over again. I've seen boxing matches. I've seen MMA stuff comes up on my screen. I've never been to one, but I've seen it come up. And you can watch two guys beating the fire out of each other. I mean, one's nose hanging half off. He's lost 3 teeth, you know, with blood everywhere. And he wins. Yeah, I win. You just got the fire beat out of you. I just have enough sense not to want to get into fights. Because even if I win, I lose teeth. That's still going to cost me. Nobody wins in that. But somebody celebrates. We're in a war. I already know I'm on the winning side. So I can celebrate now. I can have a triumph now. He's made me more than a conqueror. This is the victory that overcomes what even our faith. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Do you believe that? Anybody believe this word?
Yes.
No weapon. In fact, we sang that. Did we sing that this morning? No weapon. No fear. We win. Verse 6. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is filled. That means once you get a hold of your head, now we can do the right thing. Once you control your thoughts, now we can act in alignment with the Word and what God's instructed.
Amen.
And there is a payback time coming. But our payback is in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, if you're inspired, if you feel like you're inspired or you want to go hit something or battle something, get on your knees and pray.
Yeah.
That the power of God does something. And don't beg, declare. This comes down right now in Jesus' name. Truth manifests. The evil media in this nation are taken out of power.
Yeah.
You know one thing I pray? You want to know one of the most powerful nation-shifting events that ever took place? Anybody want to know?
Yes.
Elon Musk bought Twitter.
Yeah. That's true.
And shut down a propaganda tool of the devil, a very powerful propaganda tool.
Yeah.
I know it's still on there. I've never had it, but I've heard. Now it's X, and the bias has been removed out of it where conservatives were shut out. powerful. What have you done? I heard a report, I don't know if it's true or not, just thinking about buying ABC News or ABC. I hope so. Shut that one down. He's not even proclaiming Christian. He just wants to be fair. What if Christians got a hold of these things? But if we get Zuckerberg saved or Bezos or whoever, you know, these guys, and they transform their platforms, it'll shift the nation.
Yep.
Because see, without tax support, or how can I say this, government undergirding, these platforms can't stand. Look at NPR. You follow me? PBS. Nobody are watching them. Except some people who want to hear lies that are sold out to darkness. They're collapsing. The funding's being pulled. They're collapsing. Fox News is blowing everybody away on the news. What was it I saw? I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. In last month's ratings, the Food Network outperformed CNN.
Yeah.
They're just being artificially upheld.
Yeah.
Time for them to come down all the way. And we can do this in prayer. Revenging on disobedience. Amen? Now, go to James chapter 5. See, the devil cannot win in the realm of truth and free speech. He can't do it. That's why a nation that wants to turn to darkness always gets rid of free speech right away.
Yeah.
That's why in this nation, these demonically inspired, demonically funded news media outlets, education systems, cannot permit free speech. Cannot do it. They want only one opinion coming out. Are you in James 5?
Yeah.
Here's the time we're in. As soon as I get there. Verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl. For your miseries shall come upon you. Now, some people use this to preach against wealth, against wealthy men. No, this is particular rich men. Abraham was very rich. Solomon, richest man on the planet. It's not that you have wealth, it's what you use the wealth for.
Yeah, that's right.
Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them, rust should be poison. She'll be a witness against you, and she'll eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped together treasure for the last days. That's right now. Now let me talk about this just for a minute. When I was praying over notes for this, this dropped in me to write this down. I wrote down James 5. I knew the passage. In fact, I could probably quote most of it. And early this morning, I got up, I'm going through the notes, and I got to James 5, and I thought, I don't need that. But it was in me, you need to read it. Read it. So I went back and reread it. I want you to see what appears in this as we go further. You've heaped together treasure for the last days. We're there right now. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. The Lord Sabaoth means the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. We've shared it in here many times. It's an end time passage. It's talking about the God of vengeance, the God who takes over, the God who wins battles. It's all through the Old Testament, all through Haggai. This is talking about God coming on the scene in a supernatural fashion. In the last days, at a time where wealthy men are using their funds for the wrong purposes. And they're shutting down. They're coming against those without funding. Let's read on. You lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanting. You've wasted. You've nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Look at verse 6. You condemned and killed the just. That's the verse God wanted me to see. You condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Charlie wasn't attacking anybody. He wasn't threatening violence, trying to, you know, initiate war. He was just using the word.
Yeah.
Using scripture, using truth. If they hated him so much, they condemned him and killed him. Maybe they didn't pull the trigger, but their words initiated the trigger forward to take action. God said, I'm about to bring on the scene the Lord of armies. Which means it's the result of people in prayer, intercession. We've got to ramp up our prayer time. Shut off some distractions. Get with God. Well, I do that. I don't hear anything. Who's in here to hear? Speak. Read this verse to God. Read it out in the atmosphere. Declare it done. This passage. Declare that wickedness is put down. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. How many of those happening right now? God's revealing. He's revealing hearts. This, if nothing else, is another opportunity to see how much wickedness is embedded in our society. You condemn and kill the just. He does not resist you. Look at verse 7. Be patient. Say patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, talking about Father God, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until it received the early and latter rain. In other words, God is saying, I'm not behind this. But keep cool. Be groovy. Rock steady. Flashback. A few people know what I was talking about. Tammy, you must be old is all I can say if you know what I was talking about. Be cool. Be patient. God has a plan. In fact, just take that for a second. Be patient. God has a plan. Don't get overly emotionally riled that it impels you to do the wrong thing. Use it to turn and do the God thing. Be also patient, verse 8. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And grudge not one against another, brother. Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm trying to move faster, but I'm not succeeding. Nehemiah. Are you there? Chapter 4. Now, what's going on here is Ezra was released by Cyrus Trump. He was released by Cyrus to go rebuild Jerusalem. And he began the work, but later Nehemiah took over the responsibility. You follow me? 20 years later or something like that, maybe more. He takes over responsibility, and they're building the wall. But their enemies are threatening them. In fact, they're out there building the wall, and they're in danger, follow me, they're in danger from snipers. They didn't have a Mauser. They got bows and arrows. They got spears. And they're actually building the wall, are in danger of sniper attack. It says in verse 17. Well, let's read verse 15 to begin. And it came to pass, verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, he'd already destroyed one of their plans, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants brought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. In other words, half are building and half are guarding. They was builded on the wall, and they did bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with every one of his hands brought in the work, and in the other hand held a weapon. Because of the dangers of attack, they got half the people guarding. Those that were working held a trowel in one hand or whatever, and a sword or a weapon in the other. We got to be about the work of God, but we have to keep the weapon of prayer operational. And again, I'm not trying to call anybody to war or conflict. It doesn't hurt to be ready if something breaks out. Have some cash available if something happens. Something you can use to buy something. Because when the hurricane hit North Carolina, every form of electronic funding was dead. You could have $1 million in the bank, but you couldn't get to it. Be prepared. Eat some rice or beans or something set aside. Not calling everybody to become a prepper. But don't be caught by surprise. Amen. I'm going to make some jokes for you. It's not the time. Thank you, Jesus. War demands. And we're in a war. How many believe we're in a war already? We're in a great spiritual war. Let's try that again. How many believe we're in a war already?
Yes.
The rest of you can wake up later. War demands, as soldiers, our life's priorities and life's focus change. See, when this happened to Charlie, it wasn't just a wake-up call to those that won't take a stand. It was a wake-up call to us that will take a stand, to be more focused on our assignments. To be more disconnected from world distractions and more focused on what God requires of us. Soldiers don't get to set their own schedule. A sergeant sets a schedule. Amen. When to get up, when to go to bed, what to eat, when to march. And God's calling us to take this thing seriously. It should be a wake-up call. I want to read a few verses real quick. You don't need to turn there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11 and 12. My persecutions, Paul writing, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But God delivers from all of them. John 15, 19 to 20. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. Do you understand how much people are pawns of the devil that do not have a relationship with Jesus and don't know the word? Even Christians that are born again are pawns of the devil if they don't know the word and have a prayer life. Whatever pops in their head, I've never been there. Pops in their head, that must be God. You got to rightly discern what you're hearing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 29. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it also is now. I'm going to read it again because I went too fast. Could you tell I was trying to get in a hurry?
Yeah.
You slow down. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, our children are promised. That's you. But just as at that time, he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So also it is now. Ishmael persecuted Isaac, made fun of him. And the same thing is true today. That's what Paul was writing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial which has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God and of God rests on you. Persecution is evidence you're doing the right thing. But God's thought rests upon you. Glory will come on you if you respond right. So now to my closing many statements. What do we do now? Because that was my question. What do we do? I said, God, what do we do? I know what I wanted to do, but I knew that first thought was an Ishmael thought. It wasn't an Isaac thought. We march on Washington. Perhaps the marches really don't accomplish a whole lot. You follow me? It's already done. Do we take up arms?
No, we pray for the family.
Amen.
His parents.
Yeah?
Yeah, his parents.
Do we take up arms? Is it time to go to war?
No.
I don't think so. Do we riot and burn down opposing political and media facilities?
No.
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 Do we protest by refusing to purchase or do business with those who oppose us? Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how I can do Facebook and get off of Facebook at the same time. Because they're still censoring conservative stuff. Do we pray that conservatives can purchase all information outlets as Musk has done with Twitter? Yes. So here's my major statement. Are you ready for this? Ready to write down this? I don't have all the answers right now. I'm going to God. Been going to God for days. Ever since this happened, in fact, my sister, as soon as I heard it, my thought was, what do I tell the church? What do I do? What do we do as a church? What should be our response? You're hearing this morning what I got. And of course, praise sounds logic, but you got to believe prayer works to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And most don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah, powerhouse. So this morning I'm saying, God, I don't know what specifically to do other than ramp up intercession. And I heard this. I shouldn't say I heard it, it dropped in me. You don't need to know right now. God says, just be positioned to hear.
Be patient.
Be ready to hear. Because when it's time to charge or change a strategy or route, God will tell us. He said, I won't do anything unless I tell my servant Abraham. Saying the truth today. Be alert to the prophetic voices. Watch Lance Wall now.
Yeah,
he seems to be a good one that can really consolidate prophetic voices out there right now and express it in an understandable fashion. Be positioned to hear. This event must be turned into an awakening of the church to become irretrievably interactive in national activities. Let me read that again. These are things I wrote down early this morning. This event must be turned into an awakening of the church to become irretrievably interactive in national activities. Come on, playing in the backgrounds. And to take up a voice as a community and a national reformer. Church has got to be involved. It's got to be a wake-up call for that. At the same time, we must elevate our minds to rise above hate, rage, and physical vengeance. These are the traps Satan wants to pull us into, and it will lead to destruction.
Yep.
The enemy is trying all he can to truncate the revival that is now springing forth. Do not fall for the lie that Christians should be separate from the world, from world-affecting activities. If this were true, there would be no USA. There would have been no revolution. Even now, there's some shift in the national narrative regarding Hitler and fascist accusations needs to shut down.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody of the left apologize for it yet, but it needs to be shut down. We must hold the media accountable for their speech, which is designed to incite hate and justify murder. And I close with, we must pray. Time to use our weapon. God says, pray. I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm ready to move. It'll be in the end times. We have instruction out of the Word. Be patient. Pray. Declare God's Word over the situation of this nation. That's what's going to happen. Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.